I'd like to introduce to you my friend, Jason Link. And Jason and his family are new, relatively new to the church. This year became members, and it's really such a blessing to have you here. But they're not new to the Lord. These guys love Jesus. Their family is a testimony, a shining light of a family who are dedicated to serve the Lord, like Joshua and Caleb. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. They are a testimony of that. They come to us with the wonderful testimony of other believers in the community who know them well. And so it's my pleasure to invite Jason to come fill the pulpit for the next 10 minutes. And Jason, you can introduce Julie and so forth, but come on up and give us what you got.
Thank you, Eric. Eric told me I had 10 minutes, and knowing how he keeps time.
10 of Eric's minutes.
Okay. So, well, good morning. I'd like to introduce my wife, Julie, right there, the better half. So thank you for her. Today I want to talk about connecting the dots. Do one more. I'll let Mark, there it is. So look at that for a minute. And before you do, now that you've seen that, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, and pray. Hey, Heavenly Father, Jesus, Spirit, it's so awesome to worship you this morning. We thank you that it's refreshing to be in your presence. We thank you, Spirit, that you are here tangibly. We want you to show up even more. So please, please come do that. We thank you that before time began, you knew that each person would be in this room and be in the sound of this voice. And what you have prepared for them, I pray you would get me out of the way and you would speak, Spirit. Amen. Let's connect the dots. Everybody ever play connect the dots? If you have kids, you know you're in trouble when they're in the 10,000s. But we just took a trip cross country to visit family. And you will often stop in a restaurant, and they'll bring out the placemats for the kids and the connect the dots, you know that. And usually it's like, thank you, restaurant manager. You connect the dot, and that's the shape of an ice cream cone. Now I have to buy that, and the kid's full of sugar, and we've got another 5 hours to drive. So, but the point is that you have all the dots, and you can't quite see it. But when you connect the dots, you sometimes have a masterpiece, and you can see that. And that was the prior picture. A guy did that. Everybody recognized the Mona Lisa. He spent 9 hours doing that. So God bless him for having all that free time. But what I want to tell you is that we can do that in the Bible too. And I want you to see sometimes that you can connect dots biblically. And sometimes how many people here read like the beginning of a book or the end of a book or... You know, when you get into some of those names or when you get into those genealogies and you kind of check out, and if you're in the Bible through a year program, you speed read. What I want to say is sometimes when we connect the dots in the Bible, it kind of looks something like that. And it shouldn't. And that's what I want you to understand this morning, is that there's a lot there. And for those of you visiting, we've been walking through the book of Acts, and I want to intersect real quickly through the book of Acts. And what I'll do is point you through a couple of dots, and we'll try to connect them at the end. Let's see. So this is a story of a guy named Simon of Cyrene. It's in Matthew. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. All right, how many people have ever read that before? And how many people, there's several other passages of this. Good, thanks for raising your hands. How did they know he was from Cyrene? Think about that. How do they know his name? Oftentimes, Matthew or Mark or Luke will say that guy in the crowd or that soldier over there, but this is Simon of Cyrene. How do they know that? Did you ever think of that? This guy, I think, is the greatest example of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And first of all, let's look at this, and then we'll come back to another dot. But first of all, how many people know where Cyrene is? You could go there today. I'm not sure you would want to, but you could go there today. It's a real place. It's called Shatat. It's in modern-day Libya. You can see the lower left picture. sorry, your lower right picture is some of the ruins from that city. It used to be a Greek colony in northern Africa. It's not Narnia. It's not Middle Earth. Okay, it's not Hogwarts. It's a real place. And sometimes we read these Bible names and it's out there. And I want you to recognize that God deals in real place with real people in reality. And the other thing I need to point out to you is there was a large Jewish community there. And if you were to take the trip from Cyrene around the southern end of the Med, kind of up to the eastern part of the Med, up the coast, you could get to Jerusalem. And it's only a short 900-mile trip. That's an understatement. It's a joke. 900 miles is not short when you're dealing with camels and donkeys and all that. It was a prosperous town. It was probably a lot of merchandise and trade because of the coastal area and so on. They probably knew what was going on around the Mediterranean proper. And let's go back then to another passage that looks at what Simon was doing. As the soldiers led him away, him being Jesus, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. So there's a lot there. He has probably taken his family. He's probably, we understand, a good Jewish dude. That's Hebrew translation. But anyways, he's a good Jewish guy. He's bringing his family in for the Passover, right? Same time when Jesus was getting crucified. He's trying to get his kids in a place where they can encounter God. He's trying to do the right thing. And here he is. He's coming in all the way after a 900-mile journey, and they single him out in the crowd. Do you see that? They pick him out. And this is a sensitive issue, and I want to flag this and be very careful. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but he was singled out. Roman soldiers profiled this guy. He was different. He probably spoke different, like some of you all do. It's never mind. He spoke different. He looked different. He probably dressed different. And I want to just not overlook that. His dress, his language, let's even say his skin color, probably his hair. That his son, we'll find out later on, his son's nickname was Redhead. There's a sense here that he was different. And I just want you to know without a doubt that there is welcomeness in this family, regardless of your background, regardless of who you are. There's no difference. I can't stress that enough. You should not be singled out. You should be singled out for the amazingness of how much God loves you. But no profiling, none of that. If you're undergoing that, I give you my pledge, and I'm pretty sure I speak for the pastor and the elders here. If you're going through that, you let us know. We fight with you. Okay, we don't want that in God's house. And he is facing that in this situation. They pull him out of the crowd, the soldiers do, and they deal with that. And he's just probably not feeling real welcome at this point, trying to do what he's supposed to do. You with me so far? Let's look up another dot. They pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. This is Mark's account. What's interesting, I want you to know, is Mark worked with some of the other apostles, but he was writing the book of Mark primarily to the church in Rome. We'll come back to that in a moment. But why do we have the two boys' names there? Hold that thought. But can you imagine this? You've made a 900-mile trip. You've got plans. You've got it set up. You've got it. You're going to the temple to bring your kids to a place where you can worship God. And your plans get screwed up. Anybody here relate? No, none of you. Put your hands down. So can you imagine that? First of all, he's got all of this going on. How many people here, I suspect this is your case. It's Sunday morning. You're getting ready to go to church. You line your kids up. They're angelic, cherubic. They do the, oh, let's get in the car and go learn about how much God loves you. Now, I know that's all of you, but maybe you have some friends whose Sunday morning is like, no, don't pull your sister's hair. No, the dog can't come. Please, why did you put that in the car? No, we don't. I know you know how to tie your shoes. Just put them on. Get in the car. Listen, kids, we're going to go learn about God's loving grace. And if you aren't getting in the car quickly, you're going to learn about Dad's justice. You ever have a friend who's ever experienced that? You got some of that maybe going on here. His plans are thrown out of whack. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to get his kids in a place where they can honor God. He probably has female children. They aren't listed here. His wife is probably with him. It's a mess. But not only that, he gets to touch the cross. He's traveled 900 miles. He's purified himself as a Jew. Now he's ceremonially unclean. He can't get into the temple. You got to be kidding me. I mean, we just took a 940-mile trip to visit family in the Midwest. And had we got there and some of the tickets for some of the events that we had, you got to be kidding me. We have to do this over. I mean, there's that sense. But more than that, there's the horror of carrying a cross. They pull you out of the crowd, carry this cross. You're either going to die right there refusing them. He doesn't know. He may actually die at the top of the hill. He doesn't know this. It's horrible. And I want to flag this to you for a couple reasons. Sometimes God throws you curveballs. Sometimes life doesn't go the way you want. I know a lot of people here are trying to do the right thing. You're trying to get in a place where you and your family can worship the King of the universe. And sometimes it's so hard. Very, very hard to get there. Your plans get upset. And I'm talking more than just not bringing the cat to church with you in the car. I know life hits hard. And I want you to know that the amazing thing about that is this word right here. Who is that? Who is that? He encounters the living God. His. So in the midst of all this life that gets thrown at us, you get to meet Jesus. And whatever Tammy was saying, whatever Reuben was saying, that's the Holy Spirit. We didn't call each other last night. Why don't you say this? That'd be really cool. Holy Spirit did that, and that it is cool. And I just want you to see that in the midst of just turmoil, upheaval, if you're encountering Jesus, it's okay. It's okay. And I hope that you see maybe some of us need to let go of our plans and embrace Jesus where we find him. Okay? It's just amazing to see that. And I want to encourage a lot of you, and I'll get to some of that also in a moment, but keep it up. If you're a parent, a mother, a father, a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle, a spiritual parent, a godparent, if you work with kids, which is most adults in this room, keep it up. You do what it takes to get those kids into a place where they can encounter God. You keep it up. You keep it up. You keep it up. We need to maybe let go of our plans of how we do that. We maybe need to let go of our plans of what it's going to look like. We maybe need to let go of it being perfect or clean or ceremonial. But we need to get them into a place where they're encountering Jesus. What do you think happened on that walk up the hill between Simon and Jesus? I don't know. I just know that it has impacts. And this is really cool to me as a geek that loves connecting dots. I want to show you that. But I can't leave without saying, if you're here today and you've never encountered Jesus, that could be you. You're supposed to be Simon right now. You're supposed to be encountering the living God. Jesus came to deal with sin once and for all, and it's covered. You need to encounter him. You need to deal with that. And I hope what you see there is that he did. I think Simon really had an impact because they list his boys' names. Now, Alexander and Rufus, great dog names, by the way, if you're going to have a dog, right? Oh, Rufus, yeah. But I think Mark writes to the church at Rome, primarily where his gospel was started at the beginning, because probably the church at Rome knows these folks. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. I don't know that I have time, but
you take as much time.
All right. Let's go to the next slide. Let's intersect this with Acts. You make a 900-mile trip on foot or donkey or camel, 50 days. You might stick around for that time. You might go back. I don't know. But I think Simon said, hey, I had an encounter with this guy, and then we're still here, and he raises from the dead. I got to talk to folks. Jews from Cyrene were present on the day of Pentecost. I'm pretty strongly convinced that Simon said, hey, guys, all you Cyrenian guys, hey, we got to find out what's going on. After Stephen gets stoned, martyred, chapter 7, some converted Cyrenian Jews were scattered abroad and came with others to Antioch and preached the word, especially to Greeks. Remember, Cyrene was a Greek colony in northern Africa. They could speak to the Hellenists. One of them, Lucius, became a prophet in the church there. I think Simon was telling all these folks, I had an encounter with this Jesus guy. I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't really enjoying it at the time. I was carrying a cross, but I tell you what, it's an amazing thing to encounter Christ. You guys ought to look into that. So are you ready for my piece de resistance? The last bit. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Now, scholars aren't 100% certain. I have to say that disclaimer, that it's the same Rufus. But they're pretty well convinced it's probably the same guy. I love that. Here's a father trying to get his kids in the right place. God throws him a curveball. He's honoring God. He just gets beat up, picked on. He's reminded of his heritage. He's reminded of who he is, and he encounters God there. And he passes that on to his boys. And look at this. Look at this. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. I don't know if you get this. I don't know if you fully grasp it. But Rufus and Alexander were Simon's sons. There would be no church in Rome without Rufus and Alexander. They were missionaries to Rome. Did you know that? They got touched by this so powerfully by Simon, who passed it on to his boys, that they found the church in Rome. They're part of that founding group. Thousands of years of church history, Roman Catholicism, right there. Because one guy thinks he's in the wrong place at the wrong time, but he encounters God. And he tells his kids about it. He says, boys, here you go. No Rufus, no church. Probably a very different world than what we live in today. You wouldn't have to learn Latin if you went to other places. There's a lot here that I could go on and on. I tried to keep it to 10 minutes. But God, last night, gave me a couple words as well. So that's about 10 minutes, and I need 2 more minutes if that's okay. So I want you to just connect the dots in Scripture if you can. I want you to realize that sometimes life throws you curveballs, but you just hang on to Jesus. Walk right behind him. Carry that cross that he gives you. It says that in Matthew and other places. You hang out with him, and it's going to be okay. Now, last night God told me there were going to be several men in this audience with salt and pepper hair with blue plaid shirts, and I'm not going to make you stand up. And you're probably off the hook right here because you don't have the salt in your pepper. But several of you are there. All right. Receive it if it's for you. I don't know what this means. I'm just being obedient. God said you need to address the area of forgiveness in your life in this area. And I have no idea what that means. Does that mean with your own parents, with your own kids, and you didn't do this, and you need to forgive yourself with God? I don't know. But I just want to pass that on. I got to single you out. Someone, male or female, in a red, dark red satiny shirt with a ponytail. You put a sweater on over in the back. Yeah, you turning around. I can't remember your name. I'm sorry. Kim, God has a word for you. Just don't give up. I don't know what that means. Just don't give up. Keep going. And for the woman right here, who was sitting right here, I almost tackled her when she left with the kids. But Pat, we'll tell her, but I need to tell you this too. Jesus said to her, and I don't know her name, I'm still new here, but he said to tell her, there's going to be a day when a multitude of children, people that are grown up that you knew when they were children, are going to stand up and applaud you. It's amazing. And you need to be aware of the gratitude the King of the universe has for your efforts. I want to run up and tell her that. I don't know where she is, but God is just amazing. And in this area of getting our kids into a place where they can encounter God, don't give up. It's so hard. The culture hates it. People don't want you to do it. You're going to be fighting it. But look at what can happen. Look at what's going to happen, I think, through this church, through the kids in this church. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you. Amen.